What are your thoughts when it comes to like the Web 2 devs and Web 3 devs? Like, because there seems to be quite a disparity. Like, for example, in Eastern Europe especially, like it's a lot more acceptable to be like a Telegram bot developer. While more on the Western side, it's there are events and this and that, but it's still the Web 2 developer space holds so tightly that there's not much attention given to the builders, to the people that are building on the blockchain. How do you see that progressing in the coming years?
So I think that's a society issue, is not a dev issue. So the Western world, we could say, we could put that, let's block that, like US, Canada, most of Europe, some countries in APAC, like Australia, whatever. Basically, we have a privileged life because financially we can have as many bank accounts as we want. We have local payment systems that are super fast. Even for international payments, sometimes life is easier for us, within the EU at least. So we live a privileged life, right? So, economies are okay still. And this affects every sector of society. Now, having said this, crypto already won, in terms of being inevitable. And the last battle happened in the United States. Contrary to many people's beliefs, like I don't care if Trump Kamala wins, like it really doesn't matter because the Senate already folded to crypto. Like the politicians already understood that they have a growing number of voters that they hold crypto, they care about crypto because it's money, you know, in the end. Money is their financial assets, is their digital and financial assets. And if they don't like get their votes, they'll lose, you know. So it kind of like brings the two together, like the votes and the financial. So the last battle, in my opinion, it's already won. It's more about speed, you know. It's going to be faster if one candidate wins over the other. So I'm not super worried, but I understand what you say. And it's not just Eastern Europe, it's LATAM, APAC, and Africa. All these regions, with some exceptions, the where crypto adoption is way higher than let's say European Union, US, Canada. You have a lot more people building with Web3, and it's just a normal thing. The way I see it is like this shouldn't be even a topic. You know, you're just a builder. Like build whatever the fuck you want. Like it doesn't matter if it's it shouldn't be perceived as a bad thing in Western countries. But the good news is that it's inevitable. And I remember, like, I'm in Portugal, right? So we are one of those regions that is can be, even though we're one of the poorest countries in the European Union, we're still one of the most, like, worldwide, we're still a privileged one. And I remember having conversations with my friends a few years ago, and we're like, Bitcoin this, you know. And nowadays, it's like, yo, Bitcoin, yeah, that's a good asset. Like, so conversation has shifted. Like, the stables, also an interesting asset. Meme coins, maybe not so much. But yeah, I mean, it's happening, you know. It's just happening. And people don't look at it, just weird. No, it's like we're building in the Web3 space, but we also use AI. And what is your business about? Oh, yeah, we're building like a smart resume, you know, like, oh, okay, that's what you're building. Like, it doesn't matter what the tech is. What I'm trying to say is like, it's more of a society issue, and crypto already won. So it's not going to be a problem 10 years from now, I hope.
Well, that's an excellent point, a very optimistic point as well. But in the end, like where like what blockchain you said is really having that world without at least financial borders and without borders in general, because with Talon Protocol you are having like the verified data of different builders, regardless of where they are in the world. And yeah, that's an excellent point, especially as builders, whether they're here or there. They're still builders. They're still human. We're still human in the end.
Yeah, that's why we have a humanity check mark, which you can get through multiple ways. You can do your KYC, you know, more old school with Fractal, or you can do something with Roll ID, or you can do with your Binance KYC credential or your Coinbase verified ID. There's multiple ways you can increase your, or at least your trust, your trustability. Like you can increase the trustability of someone looking at your password and saying, oh, this is a human. You know, like this is definitely a human. They have this, this, and that credential. For sure, they are a human. That's what we're working on. You know, like we're actually using AI to increase the trustability of our data. It's super important for us. Like it's something that we invest heavily into. And also our builder score gets calculated. Right now it's something that it's the talent protocol team deciding, like the core team decides like how it gets calculated, but it's something that optimistically we can transfer that decision to the community when we launch the token. You know, that's clearly something where I see maybe not the entire formula, but parts of the formula being the community deciding like how much weight you should have deciding someone's builder score, like what's the formula going to be like, or at least parts of it. That's one of the utility. By the way, that's the one I like the most, because I think collectively it would be more, it would give even more strength to the builder score. It's being used in multiple sites right now, like base names, they have the builder score in there when you create your profile there. And it's great, but they want the builder score to be used anywhere. And if it's more of a collective decision, then I think it just creates more trust into the way that the builder score is calculated. I just feel that it's going to be better, but maybe I'm wrong. Let's see. This is an interesting conversation to have. And sorry to take it in another direction, but I see in terms of HR, in terms of this world that I know, I see three possible futures and they can coexist. So you have a future where you have LinkedIn, they are improving themselves with data, maybe they integrate with Talent Protocol, super awesome, but it's kind of a one-size-fits-all with a social layer on top so they can keep the people using LinkedIn, which is why they have content there, is so people can keep and stay there and use their products and buy their products, right? So you have these gated monsters that they have a one-size-fits-all solutions. So that's number one. That's a possible future, and for sure they will improve their products. Number two, anyone will be a sort of a composer of software. You'll orchestrate your own software. Like what I just said, I'll have my chief. That's why I remembered about this. Everyone will be a software creator. The same thing will happen. Like you, Chris, you're a content creator. 20 years ago, you wouldn't be able to do what you do today. What enabled you to do what you do today is you have tools like Riverside, we have internet, like with good bandwidth. It just wouldn't be able to do what it do today 20 years ago. It was gated. Content was gated to a few players in the industry that would operate on TV. They were operating starting to operate on the internet, but it wasn't really decentralized. Anyone that wanted to be and do content, they couldn't. So same thing is going to happen with software. So everyone can be a software creator, can build their own fucking products. I see it more not as a creator, but more like a composer, an orchestrator. Like you have different models, you use it, and you build your own shit. I love that future. And if I could just think about the things I want to build and they happen, even better. Not having to type or speak, that would be even better. But, you know, we are getting ourselves too much ahead. But this is the second future. The third future is the one that we are, it's kind of an alternative to LinkedIn, as in this Talent Passport Pro, where we actually build, but it's still a one-size-fits-all solution, but it's native verified data. So, like, LinkedIn is not. We are, so this way it could work out. So, they can coexist, the three of them, and we can support all three of them. So anyway, I kind of went on a tangent there. So it would be nice to these things are, I love talking about these things.
That's also something, like, as you said, they can coexist. And in fact, they can coexist in such a way that they kind of intertwine into one kind of future. Like they really are interacting with each other, and it's not just they coexist in three different silos.
More interoperable kind of thing. Like they're all together. I would love that. You know, even better, the experience would be even better. And if your assets are your own, then so be it. I just feel that like a player like LinkedIn or Twitter, like they're so gated, they're so incumbent that they don't see the power of opening up.
But that's a good point. In fact, it's also considering from another perspective when it comes to the big corporates like LinkedIn, it's also kind of hard to even make that momentum for them to open up because there's so many different levels. And considering a lot of the people, there's not one person that can say it's going to be this way and it has to be that way. It's too much politics involved. When in fact, like with the Talon protocol and other blockchain companies, a lot of politics are just skipped. A lot of time wasting and pretty much energy wasting that is present in corporates is skipped with some of the technologies.
Yeah, and also we kind of went from a world where you would have massive organizations, and even within the startup world, you would hire, 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 grow, 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 raise, raise, raise. And we're going from there to, no, you know, actually you can build amazing businesses with a couple of people or with 5 people, 6 people, 10 people, 20 people, tops. And
even if you look at a company like Telegram, 30 people.
Amazing. That's it. Like, actually, I have like a hard cap. It's not a hard cap, but it's like a mental barrier. I put like 10 people on Talent Protocol. We're currently 8, 2 of them part-time, but they're going to come in full-time next year. And we already have probably one more person to join our team. Let's see how that goes. We also like, we're super slow hires. So I'm an advocate of hire slow so you don't need to fire fast. Hire super slow, no need. If you're having problems internally, everybody's asking you for more people, you don't need more people. You're going to add more people, you're going to have more problems. Believe me, fix the problems first and then hire, and hire slow so you reduce your risk of hiring for you and for the person joining the team as well.